You're listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson.
Thank you. did all my best to smile till your singing eyes and fingers drew me laughing. Did I dream you dreamed about me? Were you here when I was falling? Now my foolish boat is leaning, broken love long. Touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh my heart shines from the sorrow. Well, I'm as puzzled as a newborn child. I'm as riddled as the time. Should I stand mid the breakers, or should I lie with death my bride? Hear me sing, swim to me.
Welcome to Distraction Therapy, I'm Rob Watson. This time I'm talking with photographer Julian Sahu about seeing things differently, working in black and white, waiting for the light, making one photograph count, and letting an image keep some of its mystery. The music follows that same line of thought. It moves through absence, longing, belief, and memory, then opens into quieter spaces where buildings, landscapes, and half-remembered lives seem to speak. It's an hour about attention, what we notice, what we miss, and what stays with us after we've moved on.
Still, I'm wrong for myself. streets of young Leon Step. Enough men in enough crippled world. I just can't bring myself to see it starting. Thank you.
and a series of residential communities are linked.
You're listening to Distraction Therapy. Hello, it's Rob Watson, and I'm at the back courtyard side of LCB Depot with Julian Sahu. How are you today?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yeah, good. Enjoying the sun.
Thanks for coming in. We had a bit of an issue with arranging times, but glad we kind of got it. It feels cooler out here than maybe it is out on the street.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your work, and what you do, and then we'll talk about what interests me about what you do.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. So I'm a senior citizen almost. My profession is at the moment teaching. And I've been doing that for 20 years. First primary, then secondary. So now I specialise in maths. Before that, I had a career in the NHS for 20 years. Worked all around the country, various hospitals, looking at patient advocacy and trying to improve the cause of patients in the NHS.
We met at the Open House?
Art House.
I keep getting that wrong. Art House. Up in the Clarendon Park area in Leicester.
That's right.
You were exhibiting some photographs.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about your photography.
My photography is predominantly black and white, and it's just anything that takes my fancy. It could be people. It tends to be buildings and solid, immovable objects. But people can also be quite interesting as well.
Okay, so it's kind of just, what was the last batch that you kind of put together and coordinated? Was there a theme that ran through them, or?
I've actually just come back from a trip to Switzerland, and it's a town that I've known since I was in my teens. And I thought I'd just throw some photos together of the town from, and Switzerland in particular, from a different perspective. So the people I was staying with, they know the town, they've grown up in it their whole life. And I just went out and shot photos of things that they knew and had lived with all their life, but from a different perspective. And they were really shocked.
Is it SLR? Is it phone photography?
No, it tends to be phone. The way that I shoot is that I take one shot. I have a very clear idea in my head of what I want. I tend not to zoom in. I frame it. I know what I want. It's nearly always black and white. And afterwards, there's no filters applied. There's no cropping. There's no doctoring. There's no bastardizing of any type. It's just one shot. And if it comes out as I wanted, then it's fine. But I won't just keep going trying to get that one shot. I'll just move on.
So why that kind of approach as opposed to maybe, you know, the kind of heavily cropped, the heavily filtered? Because they're all, you know, there's lots of valid ways to do photography. Yeah. But what is it appeals to you or that you found satisfying about that?
Well, I think it's a conversation I actually had whilst I was away. And it's this idea that when we first had cameras, proper cameras, not on a phone, it was a hard film. And you made every shot count. You didn't take a whole reel of film on one subject, unless you were a professional and you just kept loading more and more films into the camera. But you really, you know, if you went away for the weekend, you'd take one shot of a scene of the scenery, and you'd make sure that it counted. It was a good shot. And I think that's been lost now with cameras on phones. People just take just thousands of photographs with slight variances between one or two, and you look back at them and it's just like there's 20 photographs of me eating my dinner or whatever. And actually it's about thinking about what you're taking a photograph of.
And what appeals to you then in terms of that, what you're taking a picture of?
It could be anything. Usually it's the lighting. It's trying to catch a subject in a certain light for me. Be it with some sort of emphasis on the brightness of the light or the darkness of the shadows. It's very much a contrast between the black and the white.
I was sitting having a coffee this morning, and as I was looking at the coffee cup about to sip from it, it was reflecting the sun. I didn't have my sunglasses, I'd taken them off for a minute.
Yeah.
And it was reflecting the sun really brightly back in my eyes. Yeah. Wow, so I took a photograph of that. It was like kind of, it was just one of those moments where you thought, oh, bloody hell, even the coffee is a bit too bright today.
But that's something that you can see as you look around you all the time, that contrast between black and white. And it is just looking at things almost with a camera's eye. So you're looking around, you know, just walking here, that I noticed that there were a couple of things I thought,
Did you take any pictures as you walked in?
No, because I was running a bit late.
Yeah, that's never an excuse. You know, but like, you always take the photo.
No, but I know that the subject is immovable. It's part of a building,
right?
And so I will take photographs on the way back,
but the light, you've got it, you know, the light will be different,
so well, I'll just go with it. As I said earlier, it's you just got to go with the light. And if it works, it works.
I mean, the amazing thing is using my phone, and over the summer I've been listening to audiobooks. So three things I'm trying to do: lose a bit of weight, increase my exercise, count that as the same thing.
Don't swap them around.
Listen to my audiobooks and take some photographs while I'm out.
Yeah.
And I found I've got back into that. I realised for me, I'm not... If you ask me to do a setup, a staged photograph, not a chance.
Yeah.
But that intuitive, as you're wandering about and you see the light, and you see the shape.
It is.
And giving yourself up to that process of just kind of being observant. And one of the things I always kind of try and do is look up every now and again.
Always look up.
Yeah.
Always look up. I mean, it does mean you'll fall over the pavement, but it's looking up that is probably the most rewarding.
So what, when you see people, like, you know, you're showing your images to people, I mean, where do you exhibit? Is it print? Are you doing it in exhibitions, or are you social media?
Obviously I had the exhibition bit for Art House in June. I've had a couple of photos taken that have been chosen for the open exhibition in Leicester Newark Museum, and I've got one currently on show at the open exhibition in Loughborough. And really, that is all I do. I don't do social media. I do have an Instagram account, but I really don't know how to use Instagram. And I've been trying to take tips from my daughter. And it's something that I will try and develop, I think, as I go ahead.
Because I've posted, I mean, I think a lot of my stuff is I'm using X and Instagram to put things out. And then the challenge with that is, one, I think for X, if you're using X, it's about posting original content.
Yeah.
Because I get fed up with people just reposting stuff.
Yeah.
And actually they're changing their algorithm and their monetization process to reward original content more, which is coming in September. And then the other one is on Instagram. There's a lot more of that about your supposedly original content. But it's kind of the danger is that it's like you're just flicking through.
And
whereas when you go to an exhibition, you kind of go, you know, you don't just, maybe you do, I don't know, each exhibition can be different, but like a 30-second walk through the galleries, and it's like you're just flicking past things like you would do as if you were doom scrolling.
And it, yeah.
But it's stand and contemplate. And
that's one of the things that really has stuck out in my mind this year, is that when I was chosen to do Art House, we were told just to choose 6 or 7 pictures, whatever our format was. And so I chose 6 pictures that I particularly liked myself. I didn't particularly think about the meaning behind them, just they were nice images for me. And whilst they were being shown in June, the reaction that they provoked was quite stark. As you said, some people walked straight past them, but there were 2 pictures in particular that provoked very strong reactions. One person, has haunted me almost to the day, till today, was an image of some African children. And the light is really beautiful. And there's one girl that's looking at me, not that I wanted her to, but she did. And the other children are just facing the other way. And there was a guy staring intently at the photograph. And in the end, I went up to him and said, oh, you seem to be deep in thought. And he just turned to me and he had tears streaming down his face. And he just went, it's just too emotional, and walked out. And I genuinely have no idea what he was thinking the photograph brought about in him. And we never saw him again. And
what was your what did you feel like?
It really shocked me. I never thought any of my photos, they're not thought-provoking, but clearly a couple of the ones that I'd chosen had the impact, or had an impact on people. One of the ones that I didn't show, because my wife said it was far too contentious, was a group of black children behind bars, which on the face of it sounds, you can't do that. But actually it was the context in which the photograph was taken. And so what it was it was a group of African children who were waiting to get into a free school. But I shot the photo through the bars. And therefore, on first view, it just looks like children that are imprisoned. But actually, there's a story behind it.
I mean, the remarkable thing about photography is that there's a perspective.
There is, yeah.
And the automatic assumption that, you know, actually you can't show that. I was like, well, why not? Is the question that rises to my mind. It's a group of people stood behind the you know, if you go to any primary school in the UK,
yeah,
any school in the UK, and the children are all behind bars and 12-foot-high fences.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, does that not just contrast that reality?
I think the thinking behind it was that it was possibly too contentious with the audience in mind. In the art house is very white, middle class, possibly aging.
Well, sounds like the perfect thing to say.
Well, it would have provoked debate, yeah. And I think if I get chosen again, then I think that one definitely will get put up.
Yeah.
Whether you hate it or love it, I think, as somebody said,
and it's so people come in and they read something into it, and they're projecting something from themselves.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at the photograph and saying, what could this possibly be? Because yeah, it was their waiting to go into school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the problem was, all you had to do was give it a name.
Yeah.
And my name, and then a price.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can't convey the story behind it at all. And it is very much people take their own perspective from it.
How do you find when you go? Do you go to see many exhibitions, photography, art exhibitions, or anything?
No,
usually, so one of the frustrations I have these days is that you walk in and there's an essay on the wall, and it's kind of, you know, you've got to have a PhD in order to understand what the, you know, the social narrative is about it. And it's kind of like, you know, I'd rather just look at the, can I not just look at the images and have a relationship with those images? But at the art house thing, it was very stripped away of all that. You're in somebody's house for a start.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
But then also you've only got limited space to actually just show the work.
Yes.
So although it was overwhelming because there was a lot, you know, you went around each of the houses, an awful lot to see, but some of the moments stood out, and then having that conversation with you kind of added to the connection rather than it just being something that you thought, oh.
Yeah, there was a lot of art on show that was, I heard the word twee, and mine certainly wasn't. It was very minimal. I mean, I only had 6 pictures, all the same size, all black and white, and they looked fairly stark compared to everybody else's artwork. But I thought, no, I was quite pleased with the reaction they got. I was quite happy.
What got you into that style? What informed your...
It's something I've just fallen into, really. I mean, I've taken photographs since I was 11, and I was given my first Kodak 126, whatever it was called. And I've always taken photos since then. I used to take concert photos at De Montfort when you shouldn't. I used to sort of sneak my camera in under my jacket, take photos, rush home, develop the slides myself. And wherever I've gone, whatever I've done, I've always taken photographs. And as technology's moved, I've got a digital SLR, then I've got a phone. But I am thinking I might probably go back to a digital camera. I think it's far more, it's more obtrusive, but I think it's better quality.
I've found having just the phone in the pocket can be really, but you've got to be quick sometimes.
You do, yeah. And my wife will tell you that I don't like technology.
Fingers and thumbs. A nice big pull, lever and a button.
Yeah, well, the amount of times she said to me, why haven't you got your phone on you?
Mm.
Because I haven't.
Yeah. I've started over the summer, May, June, July.
Yeah.
Favourite months. August, everything looks a bit tired, and with it being so dry this year.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's
yeah.
looking really tired now, so it's like past its peak. So I've kind of shifted my focus, and I'm not very good at doing street fashion photography, but I'm going to try and shift a little bit more to do kind of observational street photography, but I want to do something positive. I went through a whole period of doing like the grotty part, and I still do this, the grotty parts of Narborough Road and, you know, Leicester, yeah. every yeah. town and city in the UK. It's easy yeah. to do that stark, deep, black and white, you know, grainy,
yep,
that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff. Now it's like I'm trying to be a bit more positive and kind of go, well, actually there are some interesting, you know, stylistic choices that people have, clothes wise, is starting to come out of the monoculture of JD Sports, if you like, in terms of street culture.
Well, what the area you've mentioned, Knob Road, I mean, that's just the amount of different cultures you have there is just unbelievable.
I was just trying to say how many minutes we spoke. I couldn't say it with the light. Yeah, and there's an element to it where you can kind of get, you know, your observations become reinforced, self-reinforcing. If you want to look for the grotty bits, you're always going to see it. And I'm
yeah,
trying to kind of just balance that with looking for things where people put a bit of effort into a garden or their appearance or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's most of my photographs are very spur of the moment. I don't go out and plan anything whatsoever. I just see it. But the one that springs to mind is where I did sit for a good 20 minutes because I knew the shot I wanted and I knew what I wanted in the photo, and I did have to wait 20 minutes for it. And it was waiting for a particular person to walk past an entranceway. I got the shot in the end, and it's a really nice black and white shot. But normally it's not pre-planned. It's just something you fall upon, really. Much as you say, you know, with your street photography.
Yeah. So I'm also interested in terms of what things you read and what you're listening to, what you're watching. Have you got any books on the go? Have you got, you know, what's your music taste like at the moment? Is it like, do you just listen to the same thing that you've always listened to, or is it you come across new things?
Well, I'm going to give a big shout out here to the one and only Vinnie Riley and the Girotti column, who I've listened to since I was 18, and they've been a mainstay. I tend to listen to stuff that I've listened to since I was in my teens and 20s. Before we put the mic on, you mentioned about Warrington Runcorn New Town Development Plan, which is not the name for a band, but it is. And they're very interesting.
That's an actual band?
That's the band's name.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, Warrington and Runcorn, New Town Development Plan.
And so what kind of music is that?
It's very ambient, sort of like ambient, Brian Eno-esque.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
But the guy in the charity shop played me a bit, and I just thought, do you know what, I'm going to buy that, that's brilliant.
So you buy it in the charity shop?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Loros.
On Queens Road.
The one and only.
So
yeah.
They've just moved, haven't they?
They've just swapped premises with the bookshop, yeah.
Yeah.
But the music, I suppose the music very much goes along with the photos in that it's very ambient and very...
And so it's not a new band, it's a...
No, they are a new band.
Oh, right, okay.
He is a new band.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's like, you know, it's millions of artists out there. I find, I listen to a lot of stuff on Apple Music now because you can do that synchronistic thing of flipping between things and moving around, so I'm not so caught in the loop of always listening to. I mean, I listened to David Sylvian's album the other night because somebody recommended it. And
which one?
The first one that he did by himself, which
Brilliant Trees.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. You're a fan.
I'm a massive fan.
Well, the first track I listened to, I was like, don't like this one. I can't remember which album it was, but it was like, it's that jazz kind of stuff, and I'm not a jazz head at all.
If you want to listen to one of his albums, Secrets of the Beehive, which is his third, I think, is my one of my all-time favourite albums.
And why? What do you like about the vibe? So, Jurity Column, you know, why have you kept that kind of... I think that period. What does it say?
Quite a lot of it reminds me of my youth, but a lot of my friends have also stuck with the same music, and we have conversations about it. We talk about what they're doing, what they might not be doing. I think for David Sylvian, he's quite enigmatic, keeps himself to himself. I think it's the music that I like is the ones that is quite non-publicist. They just get on with it. They do what they want, and that's it.
And you find that they have a deeper international following. I mean, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about local music and about how local bands can be supported through apps and networks and things like that. And it's like you're just as likely now to set up as a composer, artist, singer, songwriter, whatever it is, a band.
Yeah.
And get an international global following before you'll get a local following, because you'd be on
quite probably
social media platforms rather than playing every week at the same pub kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is there any gigs that you go to see anything?
Yeah, I've got a few gigs lined up. Been to see Kraftwerk earlier this year, of course. Trying to think what else might be coming up. Alison Moyet.
Well, let's give you a shout.
Exit North. If you've ever heard of them.
I have heard of it, and I'm trying to picture what kind of...
It's interesting you say that, because it's very... one of the videos for their songs is very black and white. And actually, going back to David Sylvian, Secrets of the Beehive, the cover and all the sleeve and everything, it's really beautiful black and white photography. And that's from 1987.
There's a thing about a kind of sentiment that comes with a band, which I think a lot of the time, I find a lot of contemporary music, you know, I would not be able to tell you a Taylor Swift track.
No, neither would I.
Wouldn't know it at all.
Because I actually wouldn't know what she looked like.
Because it's like tuneless, you know, it doesn't have that hook, you know, that old grey whistle test of being able to hum it afterwards, you know, that's the idea. And there's can you remember it? And it's like, for a lot of this, that might just be age, it might just be, you know, kind of being long in the tooth about these things. But I think there is a repetition of a very narrow range of melodies and rhythms and things like that get used. So what's the kind of so there's a kind of sentiment that goes with this about a scene and music. So you describe a bit about all of those bands and your mates. What was the scene?
Melancholy.
It's like introspective shoegazing.
I think it very much is, yeah. I think we were all like, we're that old that we were all Joy Division fans and then New Order, and we used to go and see all these bands together. And I think we possibly look back with rose-tinted spectacles and think about the halcyon days of the 80s, and possibly they weren't, but... And you look now in the way that technology's changed everything. It's just a different world. It's completely different. And there aren't many things that you can... All your reference points have gone. You know, things have moved on so rapidly. You know, you go out, everybody's taking a photo of their dinner. It's like, well, why are you doing that? It's a plate of food. You know,
but it's better than just moaning.
Well, okay, yeah, it's better. Yeah, it is. It's better than that. But it's like, just try and be a bit more imaginative. Just try and think a bit more about what you're doing. It's when I was on holiday, there was a girl that was sat on she was on a sea wall on the edge of a lake actually, and she's got a camera on a stick, a selfie stick thing, but on a tripod. And she spent a good 25 minutes taking photos of herself from every view. And I pointed out to my friend, I said, oh, look at her. And it was just fascinating.
Well, Andy Warhol predicted that everybody would be famous for 15 minutes. Now it's 15 seconds.
Yes, very true, yes.
You've even swiped through the next thing.
I know, but it's that very transient, it's here 1 second, gone the next. It's just like, try and create something that's going to last. You know, if you're going to take a shot, take one that you're going to be proud of, that people want to look at possibly, and evoke an emotion, have a debate about it, but not something that's going to just be brushed over immediately. And there are millions of photographs now on whatever social platform you want to look at, and it's just like, you can just scroll through and they're very muchness of a much. It's just, I don't know.
Try and dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's always something you can find that is going to appeal to your taste, whatever it may be. It might be black and white, might be really stark colours. It could be anything. It could be, you know, brutalism, modernist, whatever you want, whatever label you want to put on it, you can just search it. Something will come up. And if something takes your fancy, go for it.
Somebody's already done that 5-year study of pigeons in the street, haven't they? You know,
I'll cross that one off then. I'll choose another bird.
I think you're right. This is the point of, these conversations are not necessarily about having a point. It's about having a reflection and figuring out, well, where are we? It's like a taking stock. I think sometimes, you know, it's like sometimes too much of our media is about processing and packaging. And, you know, it's like if you think of the way a supermarket works, it's got this constant process of stocking the shelves and replenishment and data and analysis. And this is about taking our cultural references outside of that and looking at them from different angles, I suppose.
And I think the other thing is the fact that we're actually fed a lot of what we look and listen. It's literally fed to us. You know, we may not even want to hear it, but you turn the radio on, it'll just be, I don't know, some whatever you said, Taylor Swift. And it's so anodyne and ridiculous that... But people accept it. They may like it. I'm not knocking anyone that does like it, but it's just like, you know, just go outside the box and try and look for something different instead of just what's served up to us. There is so much out there. You know,
well, you know what they say. Nobody ever lost any money by underestimating people's taste. If it's making money that you want, then it's harder.
No, I'm too long in the tooth to make any money from this. Yeah. I never set out to make any money from this. It is purely a hobby. But to see people get pleasure from it was really nice.
So the value is in the fact that it means something to you and the people who...
Absolutely, yeah. When I did Art House, it wasn't about selling a picture. That was an aside. The fact that people wanted to have a conversation about what had prompted the photo and said, oh, they're really nice photos, was enough for me.
Last question. And you're probably not going to be able to answer this one, is where can people find out more about your work? But this, given that you don't post any, that's a bit pointless.
I do have an Instagram account, and it is a very obscure name. Okay. So if you do want to have a look, it is under the name Jurutti C, which is a hark back to my favourite band. And just in case you want to know how to spell it, it's DURUTTIC.
Julian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson.
That was Distraction Therapy with special guest Julian Sahu. We've been talking about photography as a way of slowing down, looking up, following the light, trusting a single frame and allowing other people to bring their own stories to an image. The music travelled beside that conversation. The music travelled beside that conversation, from loss and yearning towards stillness, reflection and a fragile sense of return. Perhaps that's what lasts, not the endless stream of pictures, but the moment we choose to hold. Thanks for listening. I'm Rob Watson, and I'll be back with another conversation soon.
Sticky hands are these, and what is this empty place? I could be happily lost, but for your face. Here stands an empty house that used to be full of life. Now it's home for no one. Here's why it's a harbor land. Who can take your place? I can't face another day. And who will shelter? I can't face.
Standing firm on this stony ground, the wind blows hard, pulls these clothes around. I harbor all the same worries as most, the temptations to leave or to give up the ghost. I wrestle with an outlook on life that shifts between darkness and shadowy light. I struggle with words for fear that they'll hear, but Orpheus sleeps on his back, still dead to the world. Sunlight falls, my wings open wide, there's a beauty here cannot deny. And bottles that tumble and crash on the stairs are just so many people I knew never cared. Down below on the wreck of the ship are a stronghold of pleasures I couldn't regret, but the baggage is swallowed up by the tide as Orpheus keeps to his promise and stays by my side. Tell me, I've still a lot to learn. Understand, these fires never stop. This joke is tired of laughing, I will hear the promise of my Orpheus soon.
You're listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson.
Such mighty dreams as Orpheus sings of the promise tomorrow may bring. Still a lot to learn, understand. These fires never stop, please believe. When this joke is tired of laughing, I will.